This is Isaac of Nineveh, back again with another edition of Hot Wind from the Desert. Today, I am going to post the first of a series that I did in teaching. Now, I divided it up because it's like over an hour long, so I don't want to bore you completely out there. But I divided it up into about 10, maybe 20-minute segments of teaching that I was able to do with visitors here at my house. So I hope you enjoy it. Here it is.
I don't know where you are in the mix of things or whatever, so I'll just preface everything with, it has been my experience, okay? And I'll just begin it with that, so I'll just speak from that. So at any point you're like, well, that's not true. Again, remember, I prefaced it with, in my experience, okay? So if I make a broad generalization or whatever, again, I'm speaking. Hey, that's on there. That's great. I say it. I preface it with, that's part of my experience, my limited perception as a, you know, as just a person in the world. So, I want to talk basically in about 4 or 5 different areas, and hopefully by the end of what we were doing, we'll demonstrate some stuff a little bit with you, because we believe that the kingdom of God is not in words but in power. So I can sit here and talk all day, but we don't want to just give you a new mindset. We want to, you know, just show you how we do it and show what we do, and then also equip you to be able to do it, because it's not difficult, all right? It's not some kind of complicated thing you have to go to seminary to learn, school for years to figure out or anything like that. It's very simple, and there's just a few keys, a few mental roadblocks that if you get those out of the way, then you can really move into this stuff very quickly. And I believe now is a time for people who are hungry for this, people who want to move in kingdom power and in cooperating with the Spirit of God. Now is the time that there's an acceleration for you. Like it took us, you know, 3 or 4 years to get to the place that we are now. But I believe that God's going to bring you guys to the place where we are and even beyond much quicker, maybe even in one afternoon. You know, it says in the scriptures, can a nation be birthed in a day? And so I think that there's this huge momentum that's been building because of people that have just been pressing in and pushing and praying and asking and interceding for years. Just like Anna in the temple, you know, brought the Messiah. And John Wimber, the big evangelist that, you know, saw lots of healings, he prayed for something like 200 people before he saw one. I prayed for 3 people before I saw somebody get healed. So there's a huge shift that the Lord's doing now on the earth. And I think that since you're here, he's making you a part of it. So first I want to just talk a little bit about theology, and then I'll move into more practical kind of hands-on stuff. And then about, again, in my experience, what I've done to continue and to grow in this stuff. Because one of the things that I always hate about people who teach or preach is that they never tell you how. They always tell you where you should be, what you should be doing, but they never give you the nuts and bolts. The hands-on, nitty-gritty stuff. So the hands-on, how you do it, what do you do at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Tuesday, church is over, nobody's around, what are you supposed to do then? And this is a question that plagued me for years, and I'm starting to realize what you can do, you know, because I don't like this. You should be doing this, you should be doing that. And like, there's a lot of guilt, especially in evangelistic circles, where you carry this guilt of, I'm supposed to be evangelizing, I'm supposed to be sharing the gospel, there's all these things that we preface with should and supposed to and all these. There's one of my favorite authors said, don't should on yourself. Don't do that. And so once you move into a freedom where that's away from it, that, you know, you're away from that stuff, then you can move into a place where I think that we're coming into now. So, theology. The first, if you want to move in power, if you want to see people healed and touched and reached the kingdom of God, you have to be convinced that God is utterly good. All the time. Not like good some of the time, but with a cosmic backhand if you mess up. And not like God is good in a way that I don't understand good, but like he's better than the nicest, kindest person you've ever met. That kind of good. Jesus said, if you being evil give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So God incarnate, compares the Father with people on earth. He says that's a valid analogy. And he says he's even better than that. And yet you hear people, well, you know that big typhoon in Myanmar killed 50,000 people. That's just God's judgment. I'm sorry. I don't see Jesus killing people. I don't see him causing storms. I see him calming storms. I don't see him giving disease to people. I see him taking it away. So the second part is, if you have to be convinced God is utterly good, period. Then you have to believe that everything that can be known about God, the Father, is in Jesus. So if you have some kind of question about, well, God, does God want to heal this person? Would Jesus heal him? Jesus healed everybody that came to him. Would Jesus heal him? Yes. Did God cause that tower in Siloam to fall that the people come and they question Jesus about? You remember this part in the Gospels? They said, well, who did it? Was it because they were sinful or whatever? He said, you know, don't worry about questions like that. Just worry about the state of your own soul. Whether you will likewise perish, he goes on to say. So Jesus didn't say, oh, yeah, you know, my Father knocked that building down to kill these people. He didn't go that way. And even when they came to the man born blind, they said, who sinned, his parents or him, that he is blind? And Jesus said, you're totally in the wrong ballpark. This is not about theologically figuring it out. Many people like to use that passage, but they forget the fact that he healed the guy. He didn't say, oh, well, you know, he sinned, this is why he has a problem, or his parents sinned, and that's why he has a problem. He inherited original sin, that's why he has a problem. He didn't explain it, he just healed it. And Jesus told us to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, and raise the dead. Freely you receive, freely give. He didn't say, go out and find theological answers to everything. He said, just do it. And he said, the proof is in the pudding. You start doing the words that I'm telling you to do, you'll discover that they're true and that there's really life in it. So the two theological prepositions is that you have to be convinced of. God is good all the time. And yes, you can understand what good means. And it's better than what you imagine good is. And Isaiah says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways. People usually tell this to the people who are standing over a grave or something. And they're, oh, you know, God's thoughts are just different. But if you read that in context, it says before it, let the sinful change his imagination about who he's imagining God to be. Because my ways are higher. Higher generally means better. My ways are so much better than you could possibly think. Not my ways are ununderstandable. Not my ways are mysteriously good. But my ways are so much better than you could possibly imagine. So if you get convinced of those two things, moving in power in the kingdom just comes naturally out. Again, I'm not telling you this is what you should believe. All right, I'm not putting that out there like a carrot on a stick. What I'm telling you is that a long time in my life, I carried these false beliefs in my head about who God was, what he wanted from me, what he wanted with my life, who I was in the church, what he wanted, these kinds of ideas. And a lot of these things, I don't know where you are or whatever in your journey, but a lot of these things are, you get a wrong belief in your head, and then sometimes there's a demonic principality or whatever in the place that you live, and it just continually feeds this lie. And you just keep believing the same lie over and over and over again until you get released from it. And I'll tell you in a few minutes, you know, how do you move into freedom, into a place where you can receive more freedom. All right, so that's the theological part. Any questions on the theological part? God's good. How do you know? Look at Jesus. You got a question about who God is? Look at Jesus. Now, you'll find that many, many, many people believe that they'll say lots of things about God that they would never say about Jesus. You know, oh, God gave that, you know, they sent the typhoon, or God sent the Katrina, or something like this. They'll use God in a nice generic way, but they're definitely not talking about the first member of the Trinity. They're talking about this generic view of God that developed out of Greek and Roman philosophy, not really Christianity. God did this. But you say, well, did Jesus? Oh, no, Jesus is my friend. Jesus is my Savior, right? This is not, my brothers, these ought not to be so, right? As James says, there should be no contradiction between God and Jesus, because he is, as it says, the invisible, he is the image of the invisible God in Hebrews. So if you got some kind of theology that's saying, okay, God backhands people over here, he's sometimes good, but he's not, then you're really not believing in the Father of Jesus. You've got some other kind of concept going on there. And I would recommend, in my experience, I've experienced more life and more freedom and more joy and more things on a deeper level when I moved away from that kind of paradigm. So if that's a paradigm then you're in, there's hope. If you want to stay in that paradigm, God bless you. I've got some books I could recommend for you. And some podcasts as well. All right, so that's the theology of it. Thank you.